What actually is the Stone of Erech, that great globe-shaped black stone that Aragorn takes the dead men of Dunharrow to? Where did it come from? And is it magical or just symbolic? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into The Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. The Stone of Erech is one of the most mysterious items or structures in Middle-earth. In the books, it is where Aragorn leads the dead men of Dunharrow, the Oathbreakers, to charge them to fulfil their oaths. That's where we get this rather eerie description. Long had the terror of the dead lain upon that hill and upon the empty fields about it. For upon the top stood a black stone, round as a great globe, the height of a man, though its half was buried in the ground. Unearthly it looked, as though it had fallen from the sky, as some believed, but those who remembered still the Lord of Western Esse told that it had been brought out of the ruin of Numenor and set there by Isildur at his landing. None of the people of the valley dared to approach it, nor would they dwell near, for they said that it was a trysting place of the Shadow Men, and there they would gather in times of fear, thronging round the stone and whispering. The hill here is the Hill of Erech, a hill in the southern edges of the White Mountains, south of Rohan and west of Minas Tirith. Tolkien obviously cared about language, and Erech here is clearly a human, though pre-Numenorean, name for the hill. So the Stone of Erech was not originally called the Stone of Erech. That's just what it became known as, because it was on the Hill of Erech. It was also known as the Black Stone, for obvious reasons, or a Tryst Stone, and symbol of Isildur's overlordship, for reasons that will shortly become apparent. But all this is to say that the stone was not originally from Erech, it was placed there. So who placed it there, and why? That passage we just read is our starting point, telling us that the stone had been brought out of the ruin of Numenor, and set there by Isildur at his landing. In all probability, this is therefore one of what are described in the Silmarillion as many treasures and great heirlooms of virtue and wonder the exiles had brought from Numenor. That passage name-checked the Palantiri and the White Tree, but clearly there were a number more. Alternatively, perhaps the stone was actually constructed in Middle-earth, but using magical technologies perfected in Numenor. That certainly is the implication of the previous paragraph in that section that talks about other works, marvellous and strong, they built in the land in the days of their power, at the Arganath and at Aglarond and at Erech, and in the circle of Angrinost, which men called Isengard, they made the pinnacle of Orthanc, of unbreakable stone. The Arganath and Orthanc we know, and Aglarond will be the Hornburg, so Erech, that must be the stone, one of the other works marvellous and strong that they built in Middle-earth. That obviously slightly contradicts the idea that Isildur brought it from Numenor. Instead, he brought the means to construct it from Numenor, and did so soon after he landed, like those other great structures. Which actually makes some sense. This is a solid stone ball, probably about 2 meters in diameter. Smuggling it onto a ship out of Numenor, sailing it across the sea through a massive storm, then rolling it inland several miles and up to the top of a steep hill, sounds rather impractical. Perhaps the story that Isildur brought the stone from Numenor just got a bit misremembered over time. Or perhaps the stories are true, and the Numenorians just had a clever way of transporting heavy things. We'll probably never know. Regardless of whether it actually came from Numenor or was built in Middle-earth by the Numenorians, this is Numenorian design, and a deliberate placement outdoors on top of a hill where everyone can see it. But what is it? Well, we have a couple of clues. First, in the index to The Lord of the Rings that Tolkien himself provided, it is described as a tryst stone, so a meeting place, and a symbol of Isildur's overlordship. In one of his letters, Tolkien also refers to it in passing as the Covenant Stone, so a place where people meet to make covenants under the aegis of Isildur's overlordship. Which is exactly what we know it was used for. I did a whole other video on the Oathbreakers, the dead men of Dunharrow, so please do check that out if you want to know more about that. But for now, it's enough to know that these are the men of the mountains from the end of the Second Age, so from around the time Isildur installed the stone at Erech. Aragorn picks up the story in The Lord of the Rings. The oath that they broke was to fight against Sauron, and they must fight, therefore, if they are to fulfil it. For at Erech there stands yet a black stone that was brought, it was said, from Numenor by Isildur, and it was set upon a hill, and upon it the king of the mountains swore allegiance to him in the beginning of the realm of Gondor. But when Sauron returned and grew in might again, Isildur summoned the men of the mountains to fulfil their oath, and they would not, for they had worshipped Sauron in the dark years. Then Isildur said to their king, "Thou shalt be the last king, and if the West prove mightier than thy black master, this curse I lay upon thee and thy folk, to rest never until your oath is fulfilled. For this war will last through years uncounted, and you shall be summoned once again ere the end." And they fled before the wrath of Isildur, and did not dare to go forth to war on Sauron's part, and they hid themselves in secret places in the mountains, and had no dealings with other men, but slowly dwindled in the barren hills. And the terror of the sleepless dead lies about the hill of Erech and all places where that people lingered. But that way I must go, since there are none living to help me. So here we have the heart of it. The dead men of Dunharrow swore an oath of covenant to Isildur on that stone, an oath to fight against Sauron when called upon, but then broke that oath. Isildur cursed them to become what we know them as, and that curse clearly had power. Isildur cursed them to find no rest until they had fulfilled their oath, and that's what happened. Tolkien, as he usually does, steers clear of describing the exact magical mechanism going on here, but the clear implication is that the efficacious power behind the curse working was the breaking of the oath, not just Isildur saying some words. He had the authority to curse them because they had sworn on the Stone of Erech, which goes some way to explain why he prioritised having this stone placed here in the first place. If he'd just wanted a symbol of his overlordship, he could have put up his heraldic device or a symbol of Gondor, but no, he went for a plain black stone. It was a symbol of his overlordship because covenants of allegiance were sworn there with more authority than a simple bending of the knee. The stone must have had some power, even if Tolkien doesn't give us the details. We do have some early drafts of The Lord of the Rings, though, which show that the idea of a round magical stone being at Erech was there from quite early on. It's just that he initially thought to have it be a palantir. It seems that as his concept of the palantiri developed to be seeing stones rather than oath stones, he kept the idea of a large round stone at Erech and made it its own thing, and allowed it to be this spooky haunted area where no one wants to tarry, rather than the site of a seeing stone that lots of people probably would want to look through. So that is the Stone of Erech. And I'll admit that the slight mystery here is a part of what makes it so fascinating to me. This is a part of the lost magical technology of Numenor, that is for sure. But was it brought all the way from Numenor or constructed on site? Its magic is connected to oath-making and seems to have given Isildur's curse power, but could anyone use it for that, or was it just for the rightful king? And was it just a one-off, or could it be used again for the same purpose? Tolkien doesn't tell us, and that's probably because the people then in Middle-earth didn't know. After Numenor fell and then Gondor slid from the heights of its power, so much knowledge was lost, and that just adds to the depth of this world. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.